You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. These are pretty familiar phrases for many of us, I suspect. But like many things that are familiar, we may sometimes pass by them without taking time to remember exactly what is being said by Jesus here in using these two images of salt and light. And so I just wanted to offer a few reflections about what I think Jesus might be telling his listeners then, and perhaps us as well, by using these images here. The first thing to point out, and if you were here last Sunday, you'll remember I said this about the Beatitudes, they are not commands. They aren't written in the imperative mode. They are in the indicative mode. They are indicators. They are descriptions of present reality. And that's true for at least the beginning of this passage this morning. Jesus doesn't say you should be salt. He says you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. This is a description of the reality of the followers of Jesus. You are salt. You are light. Now, he'll move into the imperative as the passage goes on, but at the top, it's just a description. My followers are like this. They are salt, the salt of the earth. They are the light of the world. So what does that mean? What are the qualities of salt and light that Jesus might be suggesting we share in as followers of Christ? Well, I think the light is pretty easy, so I'll get to that in a minute. But I think the salt is really the particularly interesting one of these images. I mean, what is salt used for? Well, you use it in cooking. You're getting ahead of me. Hold that thought. And salt, I think, is interesting among spices because salt really doesn't have flavor of its own. You use it to enhance the flavor of the food itself. I remember as a kid, my father is a retired family physician, but at the time, this was when there was a bunch of studies coming out saying how bad salt was for you. You know, it raises blood pressure and all that. So I remember when I was a kid, our family stopped using salt altogether, which is why I don't have a lot of fond memories of the meals from, you know, I don't pine for good home cooking. You need a little salt because it enhances flavor of things. This is why even in desserts, they'll call for a little bit of salt. It really does enhance the flavor of whatever you put it on. I mean, this is true also at the table. If you put a little salt on something, it'll enhance the flavor. Unlike, say, pepper or mint or oregano or something, which has a flavor that it imparts, salt really enhances the flavor of the food itself. So salt enhances flavor. It also is a preservative, particularly in the time of Jesus. They would use salt to preserve, especially meat. And there was no way to refrigerate things necessarily. I mean, you could, I guess, find a really cool cave underground or something. But in the Middle East, the main way you would preserve your meat so you could take it with you, eat it later, was to salt it. So salt is also a preservative. And then the last thing I was thinking about, maybe given the weather the last 24 hours, you know, we put salt down on roads and sidewalks, and it, a chemist can explain the deal, but it essentially melts the ice and the snow. Raises the temperature or something. You can ask John about it after. I'm sure John can tell you the details of that. Talk to Wendy then about it. Anyway, so those were the things I was thinking of with salt. It enhances the flavor of food. It is a preservative. It preserves food. And it also raises the temperature. It melts ice and snow. And then there's light. What does light do? I mean, I think light's the easy one. Light allows us to see. So Jesus is comparing us to salt and light. So what is it as followers of Christ that we are to enhance, preserve, illuminate? Well, Jesus goes on, as you will have noticed, immediately to talk about God's law. You are salt, you are light. Let your light shine. He throws in a nice imperative there. And then he says, let's talk about God's law. I have not come to abolish God's law. I have come to fulfill it. And what is God's law? We'll talk more about this next week. But remember what Jesus said when asked to summarize God's law. What did he say? He said, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. God's law is summed up by Jesus in love. So I would suggest to you, when he says we are like salt and light, he is saying we should be like salt when it comes to God's law. We should be like light when it comes to God's law. In other words, we should enhance the flavor of God's law. You know, God's law, as we have it, is just words on a page. That's pretty tasteless. But if we begin to live it in our lives, we add a little spice to God's law. We add a little flavor to it by living it. We also are called, I would suggest, to preserve God's law, the law of love. Preserve it in a world that is like hot sun on raw meat when it comes to love. Love can quickly spoil and turn rotten in our world today. We are called to preserve it, again, by living it, by sharing it. Maybe we are called like salt to melt a few icy hearts out there. And, of course, with light, we are to show God's love, to shine with the light of God's love for others to see. And that's the other thing about the qualities of salt and light that Jesus is talking about. One, they are not qualities that we have in ourselves. We are simply enhancing or preserving or reflecting God's qualities as best we can. But also, they are not given to us. These qualities of being salty and shining are not for our benefit. They are given to us to share with others. If we aren't sharing God's love, we're like salt that has lost its saltiness. We are like light that's put under a basket. That's why Jesus says about the law, I tell you, great in the kingdom of heaven will be those who do what? Who do God's law and who teach it. We are called to be salt and light, to enhance and preserve and shine with God's love, to share it and show it and do it and teach it. I think that's what Jesus is trying to get across to us here. Now, you may be saying, all right, I get the idea, but it's still a little vague. What does Jesus really want us to do specifically? Well, let me tell you. That's where we pick up next week. Amen.